The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Reddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, who happens to be my husband, co-worker, fellow realtor. How are you today?
Very good. How are you today?
Co-host. I'm excellent. Thank you. We have Dan Taylor, full-time realtor with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate, with us again this week.
Good morning.
Week three. How are you?
It's exciting.
You're holding up just fine. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we cover many real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising property for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click the Dunmore Corners live webcam and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is mobile friendly. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Once again, Dan Taylor, full-time realtor with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. We just got back from the award ceremony with Century 21, the producers in Century 21 recognizing production and quality service, and we have a few announcements to make. We are the recipient, once again, Quality Service Award for the whole office, which is a tremendous feat. We also have you, Nick Lawler, and Jason Thomas with Production Awards and Quality Service Awards. You're the recipient of the Bronze Award.
Correct.
Nick Lawler is the recipient of the Silver Award. Those are Production Awards. And Jason is the
big one.
The big one. And this is wonderful. First time ever. We have a Centurion Production Award, and that is very hard to achieve. And he is number six out of 1,700 Century 21 agents in Pennsylvania in the Century 21 system. And that's amazing. And that was for 2015. And that's in number of units sold. And he's number eight in the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors in 2015. So he did a tremendous amount of volume last year, almost nearly 8 million in sales. Yes. So he's
I tell everybody it's like the Emmy of the real estate business.
It is the Emmy. It's a beautiful, beautiful.
It looks like an Emmy too. It's a gold statue.
Like it's beautiful. Okay, so there we go. We tooted our horn there for a second and we got off path. But today I thought we would talk about buyers' hurdles that come up in a real estate transaction. Some of the things, you put an offer on a house, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, we talked about a week or two ago about the process of buying a home and what you need to do to prepare for it. Today we're going to talk about the home buying hurdles, the things you can encounter as you go through the process, because
after the offer is accepted.
After the offer is accepted, because I tell all my buyers, don't expect a smooth transaction. There's always hurdles, sometimes more than one. So,
well, I like to use the words cautiously optimistic. There are, you can be cautiously optimistic. It's an exciting time, but there are things that come up during the real estate transaction that can kind of bump you off course.
And you it's almost impossible to foresee some of them. You can't know until you get into the process, and that's why I tell them, expect the unexpected, hope for the best, but
we have inspections to get through, appraisals to get through, title work to get through. So those are the things that
and financing,
the glitches that come up during the course of all of that. So we go through the inspection within 10 days, 15 days of an accepted offer. So, there's a lot that can go wrong on a home inspection.
Exactly.
And home inspectors are human. They can miss stuff, but there are things that home inspectors do not inspect.
Right. And I tell my buyers to keep in mind that a home inspector cannot conduct what's called an inventory invasive inspection. They can only inspect the home for what they see at face value. They can't punch a hole in the wall to see what's behind that. So obviously there are potential risks associated with things like that. And one of the questions I get a lot is, will the city or the municipality approve this or not? And what some home inspectors don't understand is that it is their responsibility to contact the home inspector to schedule the home inspection and to pay for the home inspection. It is the buyer's responsibility if they elect to do so. The seller or the municipality usually typically has nothing to do with the home inspection process.
Well, there are areas, especially from out-of-state buyers, that have to do occupancy permits every time a real estate transaction occurs. And so that is a common question, but we don't usually have that around here where we have to give an occupancy permit in a real estate transaction. But the home inspection, a lot of home inspectors don't inspect garages, second buildings or detached buildings, sheds, or fences, things of that nature.
Right. Right.
Or crawl spaces within the structure. They're not going to crawl around a crawl space.
Now, and some of them are getting a little bit high tech. I know there's a few inspectors out there now that are using drones to inspect the roofs of properties. Because, again, that's a tough one, especially with a steep roof. You know, it's highly unlikely they're going to get on it to actually physically look and give a visual, you know, representation of what the roof has. So, again, finding a home inspector that's knowledgeable, that's up to date on the technology and can do things like that. Is great, but you know, one question that comes up also when it comes to home inspections is, if I find something, doesn't the seller have to fix it? And the answer to that is absolutely not. They don't have to do anything. Typically, when things come up in the inspection report, and these are some of the hurdles we talk about, you know, for instance, a roof, we just said, I've got one under contract right now, that the roof is the issue. And that's a big ticket item to ask for and to request. But it came up in the inspection report. And typically, when anything comes up, whether it's a roof or any other issue with the home, the buyer has three different options. One, they can accept the property in its current condition and say, I'll deal with the issue after I close on the property. The second option they have is to back out of the agreement and say, it's too risky for me. You know, I found out the roof is bad. What else is bad? I want to back out. And then the third option for the buyer is to negotiate with the seller as to how to come to a common ground, if you will. And typically that involves either a credit from the seller where they can give money back towards, for instance, a new roof, or they can actually repair it in and of themselves prior to closing. So those are your options when things come up. Those are some of the hurdles. And, you know, it's tough decisions because you're going to have to decide, you know, how far are you willing to go? Are you willing to take on something like that, whether it's a plumbing issue or mechanical? The furnace, you know, most sellers won't replace a furnace even though it's 40 years old and the home inspector says it's only got a couple years left. Are you prepared to put a new furnace in after you purchase the home? So again, these are some of the hurdles on the inspection side that you've got to be prepared for.
Well, there's a definite difference of perception there with that furnace because there's nothing wrong with it, you know, in terms of how the seller looks at it.
Exactly.
It works. It throws heat.
Exactly.
You know, so
water heaters come up, the same thing. You know, oh, the water heater's past its lifespan. Well, it works, you know, so don't expect the seller to fix that. You know, like I said, when it comes to the inspections, be prepared to give a little, be prepared to negotiate, because sellers often, like you said, will look at you and say, well, it works.
Well, oftentimes, and this is where I, you know, in a real estate transaction, the seller feels that they've already negotiated on the accepted price. They've already come down in terms of what they were asking to the sales price that they've entered into with the agreement of sale and they've accepted. So they feel that
they've already made the concession.
Correct.
And that's why we talked about it last week or the week prior when we were talking about the buyers. I usually say, you know, if you see it at the time of the walkthrough, include that, expect that in your purchase price. So if you see that the furnace is old, and again, obviously having a realtor that's knowledgeable that can advise you as to the age of a boiler or something like that, have them tell you what, you know, the expected lifespan, you know, how long things are expected to work, how long a water heater is expected to work. If it's a 6-year water heater, the warranty's up, you know, anticipate those expenses and work with your realtor as far as the negotiations are concerned. Because again, the seller, like you said, already expects those concessions in the reduction. So if you see it going in during the initial walkthrough, the first time you see the house, factor that into your offer. Don't expect the seller to make any additional concessions after the offer is already, you know, negotiated.
Right. So inspections, sometimes the bank requires them, especially on properties that have well septic systems. And then wood infestation is a big one. That's carpenter ants, termites, powder post beetles, any kind of infestation problem needs to be documented, tested and documented prior to the loan being approved.
Right. I've got one right now that's a rural housing loan, and the bank is requiring that the well water be tested for both metals and bacteria. So again, it's not only are you testing it for your own knowledge, but the lender will not fund unless it meets their requirements. So a lot of times they kind of overlap there. But, again, expect those are the things that I tell buyers to expect to negotiate. The furnace, if it looks old but it still works, you can't expect much. But when the well water comes back contaminated, or the radon comes back high, or there is evidence of termites, these are things that you're not going to notice during an initial walkthrough. That's really what you should save your negotiating power for, the things that are unseen. And like I said, try to factor in those initial things in the offer price so you don't get, because if you're asking for termites and well water, well water treatment, it's tough to go back and say, well, I want a new furnace and a new roof on top of it. So anticipate those, the roof, the furnace, with the offer, and then expect to negotiate the unseen items that come up.
And if you can't come to terms, what the seller either has to do is correct those items moving forward, or has to be disclosed to
any future buyer. Right.
Okay. What other hurdles do we come across? How about appraisals? You having any troubles out there with the appraisals?
I've just got my notes here and I'm looking down. I've wrote down, should rarely happen that the appraisal is low. It really should rarely happen. Your agent should work with you on value prior to making your offer. But it does happen. So it's not, I can't say it's common, but anything
there's
can happen.
There's other issues other than the price coming into under where the
right, the value coming
price.
In low.
Right. But there are other issues, and you just had one of them.
What's that? Which one?
With the paint. And
oh,
it was
that's
on a
right.
conventional loan.
On a conventional loan.
See, we usually see it on a government loan, VA, the Veterans Administration loan, or the FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, or the PHFA. We usually see the flaking, chipping, peeling paint as an issue, but we just had one on a conventional Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan.
I never heard of it. You never heard of it. The other agent never heard of it. Most agents don't experience
but
this
often. But it's coming.
But it's coming. And the reason being is because this is all it took to flag the bank was when the appraiser went through and they took the photos for the appraisal. There was one photo of some chipping paint in the basement, and below, the appraiser had to note for their own liability purposes, potential for lead-based paint. Now, the lender had anticipated selling that mortgage, as most of them do, to a Fannie Mae or a Freddie Mac, in which case they need to meet those guidelines. So my buyer was stuck on a conventional loan having to remedy. We had to do the whole lead-based paint abatement. We had to get the XLR machine in there to test for it. It was a hurdle, to say the least, and that's what we're talking about today. So expect the unexpected with these properties. I never would have expected that. Now I know going forward to kind of catch that and try to address it prior to the appraisal, so that we can avoid things like that, because it was minor. As far as the buyer was concerned, he had no really care for it. It was in the basement of the property. It wasn't a major issue. He didn't have kids to worry about eating chipping paints or anything like that. But again, the appraiser addressed it. And so, like you said, it's not always low value. It could also be FHA has their own kind of inspection that goes along with the appraisal. GFI outlets, handrails, chipping paint. Even if the roof looks bad, they'll require that the roof be repaired or patched or replaced. Again, another hurdle on the appraisal side. And value, too. Of course, we kind of pass by value. It comes up very seldom. But there are times when the appraisal will come in low, and that's where you need to decide whether or not the home is something you really want. And if it is, are you willing to pay a little bit more than what the market's dictating? Because at that point in time, it's a tough decision to make.
Well, and sometimes the sellers, they have a hard choice too. They're asked to sometimes come down to meet that lower price.
Right.
And they don't want to do that.
It's very uncommon, but the one that I had one happen last year, and they met in the middle, and it was tough. I mean, the buyer had to come to the table with the difference because they really wanted the home, and it was only a couple thousand dollars. But, when you tack a couple thousand dollars onto down payment and closing costs, it gets a little high. So again, you know, work with your realtor to determine value in advance. And sometimes it's not an option for the seller to take a lower price because they may have a mortgage on the property that they have to pay off. So it really isn't an option for them to take a lower price, even though the appraisal is coming in lower. And that's really what that situation was. The sellers had to pay off the mortgage. They couldn't accept lower. And if the buyers wanted it, it was up to them to make up the difference. And they did. And they've got a beautiful home for it. But again, it can be tough. And you know, we learn the hard way when you ask for a review of that appraisal. Sometimes it doesn't, it works out even worse. The appraisal actually, when they ask for the review, you do have that option as the buyer to request that they review the appraisal. And it ended up actually coming in lower than it did the first time. So, you know, proceed with caution whenever you request another appraisal or a review of the appraisal, because it may actually end up worse than it was originally.
And who would think?
And who would think? And right. Again, nobody does when you go into these sales, but it happens.
With us today, talking about buyer's hurdles during a transaction, is Dan Taylor, full-time realtor, Quality Service Award winner, and the recipient of the Bronze Production Award. May I have your contact information, please?
Sure. If someone wants to get in touch, they can call me directly at 570-503-6333. Or email me at dan@jruddy.com. That's dan@jruddy.com.
Thank you. Pat?
Yes, we have a 3-unit building in Dunmore at 134 Cherry Street for $129,000. This is a 3-story building with one apartment on each floor. There are two-bedroom apartments and a 1-bedroom apartment. Each unit pays for their own heat and electric. This building is in good condition. It has many replacement windows, and the second and third floor apartments have back porches. There is off-street parking, and each unit has a washer-dryer hookup in the basement. So if you're looking to invest, give us a call about 134 Cherry Street in Dunmore, a 3-unit for only $129,000.
Thank you, Pat. We will return in just a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 and Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Reddy from Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jruddy.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Great. We have Dan Taylor for the third week in a row. Dan Taylor, full-time realtor with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate and Quality Service Award producer and recipient of the Bronze Production Award. How
exciting.
Are you?
I'm good.
Jackie,
congratulations. I didn't
Thank
say
you
that
very
in the
much.
First half
Thank
of this.
You very much.
Yes, you worked hard.
Didn't you receive an award too?
I did. I received a Quality Service Award.
There you go. There you go.
And I also received the Bronze Award. But I mean, more in the office received the Quality Service Pinnacle Award as well. And I'm very proud of that. But we are in the top 10 in the multi-list for production and units sold. So dollar volume as well. So we have a lot to be thankful for and grateful for. I have an excellent crew. Wonderful.
Top 10
office.
Against firms that have, you know,
dozens
tens
of offices.
And hundreds of agents. We've got 18 agents and we're top 10. I love that. I love telling people that. That's what the service that you get with our firm.
Right.
You
know? Quality Service Award year after year.
Right.
Right. Open 7 days a week. Always, we have realtors live on the phone. You're not going to a machine or voicemail. So we make it a point to take care of our clients and customers. And
that's why we keep getting these Quality Service Awards.
Yeah, and we have a dynamite office. Excellent crew. Okay. So first half of the show, we talked about the many hurdles that people have to overcome during the home buying process. We talked about inspections, appraisals. What about insurance? Is there anything to worry about there?
Yeah.
Okay. No,
wait, didn't we have a show about this?
We did. Mm-hmm. Some time ago.
Yes,
yep.
We did.
As part of your inspection contingency, typically when you elect to protect yourself in a negotiation or a contract, in getting insurance on the property is one of those contingencies. And you want to make sure that any random insurance company is not going to come out and say it's going to cost you $1,500 or $2,000 to insure the home. It very rarely happens on the property insurance side. I've seen it once or twice, but very rarely. More often than not, it's not the property insurance or the hazard insurance. It's the flood insurance that you've got to protect yourself. So making sure it's not in a flood zone, making sure that your lender will work with the insurer that you're anticipating using. That's another tough one.
Right. Private versus FEMA.
Private versus, the National Flood Service, which is through FEMA.
Okay. So private is considerably less.
Yeah, it can be. Certainly.
And you would think that in America, one would have a choice as to where they can get their flood insurance, but some
government loans require to use the government insurance, which could be very cost prohibitive at times. Yeah,
very much.
You had one recently.
It wasn't me, but one of our agents did have one that fell apart because of that. They could get insurance from a private flood insurance carrier for $600 a year, as opposed to FEMA at $3,500 a year.
That'll kill a deal, right there.
Obviously, the buyer couldn't afford that on top of everything else.
Right.
Mortgage interest and regular homeowners insurance and utilities and taxes and so on and so forth.
An extra $300 a month in insurance.
That's just
in flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
My dad lives on the ocean. He doesn't pay that much.
No, that's crazy. But like you said, certain government programs require to use the National Flood Service, which is through FEMA, and the costs are... But again, another hurdle you might not anticipate going in.
Well, anybody getting a mortgage has to carry insurance, has to show proof of insurance,
right.
Homeowner's insurance, and if it's in a flood zone, flood insurance. People paying cash don't have to... I would never suggest or recommend it, but they don't have to.
Yeah, I had one last year that they purchased in a flood zone. They didn't purchase the flood insurance because it would have been too high, but they purchased cash, so they weren't required. Which, again, we're talking about the hurdles. You'll have inspection contingencies to protect you from any of these obstacles. But in the event that something comes up after your inspection contingency, typically your lender will also require that it be within your monthly expenses. So if you find out after your inspection contingency that the flood insurance is going to be $3,500, because most people might think, well, I got a quote for $600, I'm good to go, and then go through their inspection contingencies and have that pass. But what's nice is you'll have that safety net where the lender says, with the National Flood Program, you're outside of your allowable monthly expense for a mortgage payment, which would include the insurance and the taxes. And that's another kind of protection blanket to ensure that you don't have to fall through with that contract or lose your deposit because you have a mortgage contingency. So if you can't afford the payment, you can't get the mortgage. So therefore, you'll also have an opportunity to back out. But again, another hurdle, definitely a potential hurdle.
Okay. What else do we have to worry about?
Title.
Right, title.
A lot of
what can happen there?
Nothing. No, a lot can happen. I get asked a lot when I go over the contract with buyers, isn't there a contingency for title? And there isn't a contingency. It's actually written into the contract that the seller is required to give you clear and equitable title. So you don't have to say, I'm buying this house contingent upon clear title. It's almost assumed in the contract that you're going to get a clear and equitable transfer title. If not, then they not only can you get your deposit back, but technically, that's their job as the seller, is to make sure that they're able to give you clear title. If not, then what are they doing? What are they selling the house for if they can't sell it without any?
Well, our contracts, the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors contracts, further state that the seller must reimburse the buyer for the expenses up to that point. So
right.
Any appraisal fees, mortgage application fees, inspection fees, so on and so forth.
Exactly. I had one. Typically what comes up are hidden mortgages and things like that, paper mortgages that aren't recorded. That aren't recorded. I had one last year on a property. It was an $8,000 mortgage. And this is why a lot of people ask me the difference between the title search and the title insurance. The title search is to find, go back through the deeds, to find any liens, encumbrances, that are on the property, but they may get missed. And that's what the insurance portion of it covers in the event that the title company misses something like an unrecorded lien. Then, you know, if you find out somebody knocks on your door 2 years later and says, well, you owe me $10,000 and the title company missed it, the insurance policy is going to cover you. I had one last year where there was an $8,000 mortgage. The property had sold three times without any title company finding it. My buyer's title company did find the $8,000 outstanding mortgage. We had to track down an 87-year-old woman who had the mortgage in California. It was an absolute nightmare. It delayed the closing by about a month. If not for finding that woman, thank God we did, and she also agreed that it was satisfied. But we had to track her down. Like I said, three title companies missed it. So that's why it's always great to have, I always recommend having an attorney handle your title work, because you'll have legal representation in addition to the abstract, the title work to be conducted. But the attorney was really a kind of the middleman there negotiating that to figure out how we could actually get the sale done and track down the woman, sent the letters out, expedited it overnight. It was tricky. That one, luckily, she was able to release that lien prior to closing. I had another property, however, where we had to go for quiet title, and that is something that could be a big hurdle. If a lien comes up on a property throughout the transaction, they do the title search, they find out there's an outstanding balance. This balance on the property I did last year, another property, was for about $19,000, and it was from a pool company that had installed an in-ground pool 25 years prior. Now, the homeowner had thought that it had been paid, but she didn't have any of the documentation. We did indeed have to do a quiet title. We were able to close that deal because there was enough left over to escrow the funds. But typically, again, like you said, that could delay a closing and a transaction for months. Quiet title quickly is generally when a lien is found. It's assumed that the lien's been satisfied. But basically, the attorneys and the title company have to petition the court to rule that it's an invalid lien. It's already been satisfied. They ask for any lien holders to come forth. It's just a long, very long, drawn-out process. But again, another hurdle in the title process that could potentially prohibit you from buying that home, because some people may not want to wait, and there's no guarantee that quiet title is going to be effective. You may wait 2.5 months, and then all of a sudden the lender comes from California and says, well, hey, you still owe me that money. Well, if the seller can't afford it and you're not willing to pay it, then that transaction is not going to go very far.
Right, and months.
Again, these are title hurdles that you may encounter. You know,
there's been a lot of them, and I myself was involved in one in the recent past where the title agent was deceased, title company went out of business, and luckily somehow, some way, after 9,000 phone calls by me and playing detective, we got to these archived boxes somehow, some way. A kind woman in Philadelphia was able to go through, rummage through boxes and boxes and get us what we needed, but it took a lot of extra legwork to get it done and get it to the closing table. And that was a happy ending.
And right, and mine were as well, luckily, but you're absolutely right. That's where your realtor kind of turns into a detective. And that's why, I reiterate this probably, and so do you in every episode, but having a quality, experienced agent is so important. Because if you're using a part-time agent where they're, you know, working their full-time job every day, they don't have the time to call these different title companies. My particular situation with that, the pool lien was, it was about, 40 days before we actually got answers. It was a lot of investigative work. The pool company had been defunct. It went bankrupt. So we had no numbers, no contacts to find out whether or not it was valid lien or not. So it could be an extensive process and a nightmare.
Okay. Dan Taylor, full-time realtor with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate Quality Service Award winner and recipient of the Bronze Production Award. May I have your contact information?
Sure. You can reach me at any time, 570-503-6333. Again, 503-6333. Or email me at dan@jruddy, D-A-N at J-R-U-D-D-Y.
Would you come back next week so we could talk about the pitfalls of buying that handyman special foreclosure or short sale property?
Absolutely.
Please. Thank you. Pat?
Yes. We have a 4-unit at 313 William Street in Scranton for $129,000. This building is in good condition, and it has 2 2-bedroom apartments and 2 1-bedroom apartments. There are hardwood floors, updated baths and kitchen, and a newer furnace. This could be a great investment, or you could live in one and have the rent pay the mortgage. That's a four-unit building at 313 William Street that has been updated for $129,000, and that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. During the week, you can always call us 570-344-6724. Visit jready.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. And if you have an idea for a future radio show, if you're in business for yourself, you want to promote yourself, it's a topic that you've never heard us talk about, please don't be shy. Give us an email at
questions@jready.com. That's questions@jrudy.com.
Have a fantastic week.